time to wait for your sleep. Rise to a new day with each of those keys.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And I apologize for the tinniness of the music. I still haven't worked that out. My guest tonight is my good friend and buddy, Madeline. And she and I are going to be open to doing some healing tonight. But first, before we get started with that, I wanted to talk to you guys about anxiety and what you can do about that. So first of all, welcome to the show, Madeline.
Hello.
Hello. My buddy, traveling companion, assistant, and wearer of many hats. Listeners, Madeline and I were talking a couple days ago about how we wanted to kind of bring the show more in the direction of healing. And, you know, I love to interview different people and find out what's going on out there and bring those people to you. And I think I'm going to be concentrating a little bit more on actual healing episodes. I talked to Steve Barish about that, too, so we'll be probably doing some kind of healing at least once a month, if not once every 3 weeks. So Madeline and I are also doing energy healing, and those of you that have seen us as we've crossed the country are aware of that, I think. And so we're going to work on some of that. But what has come to mind this last week is severe anxiety. And I noticed this. I think you know that sometimes, you know, I'll feel something hit me, but I know it's not mine. And I know that because I've had years and years of meditation and tutoring, you know, by really incredible teachers and, you know, the kinds that you only read about in books usually. And so because of that, I learned through my own discipline to tell what's me and what's not me. And what I'd like to do is give you a real simple way to tell that, and here's why. Because sometimes there will be different reasons for anxiety. A lot of people are waking up. So as you become more sensitive, you're going to feel much deeper, and if you can't tell the difference between what's yours and what isn't, it's going to get you in trouble. For instance, when the various bombings happened here in the U.S., the Oklahoma City one and the 9/11 and all this kind of stuff, when that stuff was going on, I felt like I popped a bleeding ulcer. I mean, it was unbelievable. I was in such pain for 3 days before that hit because I could feel the evil as the people were planning it and really putting everything into place. Now I've learned to kind of isolate that so that I don't have to feel it so intensely. But at the time, I didn't know what it was. Now I feel like something hits me in the solar plexus, and it's a huge wave of anxiety, like you're sitting there minding your own business, watching the TV or reading a book or whatever, and all of a sudden, whammo, you almost get knocked off of your seat by this incredible fear and anxiety, and you go, oh my God, you know, and the heart starts pounding and you feel really uncomfortable. When that kind of stuff happens, that's not you. And you need to know that. And, you know, if you start thinking about it and going, wow, what was I thinking about when that hit? And if you're not thinking about anything in particular, then it can't possibly be something that came from you. That's the simple way to tell. If it is something you've been worried about, then the high anxiety may indeed be yours, but it may be increased by what's happening around us. And the, you know, prime example of that is what the bad guys are beaming at us through the cell phone towers and all this kind of stuff. You know, they try depression, they try anxiety, they try fear, they try anger. And, you know, a huge amount of the population is very susceptible to that. So what happens then is you get hit with these things, and if you don't know the difference, and if you aren't trained in observing yourself and other people, then you might think that it's all yours. Another example I'd like to give you is when I went into the grocery store one day, and I'd been just minding my own business, having a good time at my house, creating things, and, you know, just humming along, having a great day. And it suddenly occurred to me at lunchtime that I needed to go get some things to eat. So I hopped in the car and went down the block to the supermarket and walked in there, and it was the weirdest thing in the world. It was like the whole place had been invaded by pod people. Everybody in the store, even at the farthest reaches of the store, stopped dead in their tracks and turned around and looked at me. It was so weird. I was like, oh boy, do I turn around and run or what? I mean, it was just bizarre. And then I thought, well, you know, if you can't use all this stuff that we're learning, if you can't learn to project love, and you can't walk through anything unharmed, then what good is this stuff? So I just projected love, and I walked along, and I made sure that as I passed each person, I smiled, and I said hello, and I looked at them in the eye. And it was like I just gave them a shot of some kind of energy. It was really interesting. And by the time I left, most of the people were joking again and laughing. But when I had walked in, they looked like they were just drained. They were haggard. And then I talked to people about how weird that was. And they said, oh, yeah, you know, I noticed the same thing when I went out. And the reason that people are being affected by that is because they haven't done their homework. You know, they haven't got their protections up or they don't know how to protect themselves. So, you know, there's that. Maybe they're watching too much TV. And I'm going to give you another hint now. The worst thing you can do is go to sleep with your TV on. And right now I know there's a lot of you out there that are groaning. I've talked about this before. It's becoming even more insane. The more you go to sleep with the TV on, the more anxiety and fear and depression you're going to have. And, you know, they do program things through the TV. There's a lot of subliminal messages. You know, it's horrible. The first thing I do with my patients when they start telling me they feel depressed and they don't know why, or they're anxious and they don't know why, I ask them, do you go to sleep with the TV on? 9 times out of 10, they do. So the minute they stop that, a lot of the anxiety and fear just goes away, and depression. So that's my first hint. Here's another thing that happens. The children are very, very sensitive. Teenagers, little kids, they're so sensitive. This is one reason why so many teenagers are turning to drugs and alcohol and things. Especially ecstasy. They love that drug because they feel love when they take that drug, and they may not feel it anyplace else in their lives. Or they're having sex prematurely because they want to feel love, even though it's actually lust. You know, so there's a lot of things going on there that, you know, normal teenagers have to go through anyway. And it's a time of high anxiety because your hormones are nuts. And, you know, I'll be the first to tell you that women especially are crazy when their hormones are awry. And it happens when you first start producing a lot of hormones, and it happens when they all go away. And any time in between, the things are a little wonky. But what happens with these kids is they get very, very angry and upset, and they contemplate suicide or attempt it. The reason that they do is because they feel that they alone are feeling this terrible angst. And I've run into a couple of them here and there, you know, in my travels, and I saw one in Sedona that really struck me. I was just out buying some shoes, and this kid was sitting there. I think he was 15, and his mother and his grandmother were just harassing him something fierce and talking about how, oh, well, you know, he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. No, he's always upset. He's always angry. He's depressed, blah, blah, blah. I said, wait a minute. Hang on. And instead of ragging on the kid, let me talk to him for a minute. And I said, you're feeling very angry. And he said, yes. I said, are you feeling like you're alone in this? He said, yes. I said, do you feel depressed? Yes. And I said, what are you angry about? And he said, what? I said, what are you depressed about? He said, I don't know. I said, oh, really? Then it's not yours, is it? And for the first time in the 10 or 15 minutes I'd been observing this kid, he actually got a glimmer of hope in his eyes, and he looked up at me and he said, no. He said, that's what disturbs me. I have no idea where this came from. And his mother and his grandmother were still, you know, tooting around there and just, you know, wanting to blame everything on him. I said, wait a minute. The children are very, very sensitive. And, you know, it's not just psychics that feel this. Now it's a good amount of the children that are on the planet. And the teenagers and, you know, young adults too. Every generation has become more sensitive because it's time. So if you know someone who's going through anger and depression and anxiety, panic attacks, things like that, ask them to sit down and consider what were they thinking when it happened, and is it truly theirs, or did it just come out of the blue? This is really important. Now, obviously, if there's any reason at all that it could be physical, you have to get it checked out. So, you know, normally you're going to go and you're going to get an EKG and they're going to run some lab tests and they might do a stress treadmill. You know, they might do a number of things, echocardiogram, all kinds of things, you know, to rule out that there's actually a physical cause. The most common physical cause of panic attacks is supraventricular tachycardia. It can also be called junctional tachycardia. There's a lot of different names for it. And that's when your heart just takes off all by itself. So you're sitting there minding your own business. Maybe you drank too much coffee that day. You found something on TV or the internet that really got you excited, you know, and maybe you've been rushing around like a maniac that day anyway, and all of a sudden your heart goes kabam and just goes into, you know, 250 beats a minute. That's pretty scary. So that does need to be ruled out as a problem. The other thing that can happen is you can have what's called a catecholamine flood. That's the fight or flight response. Now, that can be brought on strictly by emotions, but it can also happen if you have other things that are not working correctly in your body. Hormones in particular are known for doing that kind of thing. And that comes from your adrenal glands. So, you know, there are physical things you need to rule out. There's also thyroid storm, you know, things like that. So, you know, if your thyroid's off, you're hyperthyroid, that can cause a problem. So rule out the physical things if this is something that is, you know, new or if it's something you've been suffering for a while. Most people who have gone to the doctor with a diagnosis of panic attacks are, you know, probably having some kind of counseling. They're probably on an anti-anxiety drug. There's way too many of those given out. And I'm not an advocate of those kinds of drugs, as my regular listeners would know, mainly because it's kind of a cop-out. You know, people don't want to take the time and the effort to find out what the true cause is. When you're dealing with things that are metaphysical also, it becomes a heck of a lot more complicated. So as I've mentioned to a few patients, you know, I try to be kind of the one-stop doc. But it gets very complicated with some issues because it's not cut and dried at all. It could be a combination of all the things that I've mentioned. So remember, the number one thing is determine if it's yours or not, whether it's depression or anger, anxiety, whatever it is, when it hits you all of a sudden, ask yourself, wait a minute, is this mine? Go back to what you were thinking about or what you were doing at the time. If it's not yours, don't take it up. You may still feel the physical feelings for a while because your body is going to respond instantly. You know, the body actually is the autopilot. You know, it's on autopilot. And so you'll go through the day and not even notice some of the stuff that's going on. But you need to pay a little bit more attention. You know, times are getting to be pretty scary here. And this is the time many of us have been waiting for. You know, we've been kind of like running on the treadmill. You know, and now it's like, all right, finally, you know, we get to supercharge the treadmill or something, you know, take it off the rack and let's go rolling down the road. So you're going to have to pay more attention to yourself, you know, what's really causing the problem. And the other thing you can do is call around and see if other people are feeling it. You know, that's the first thing I do. Whoever I talk to during the day, I'll say, hey, did you feel this at such and such a time? And most of the time they'll say, yeah. Of course, I'm calling teachers and things, you know, and people who are therapists of some sort, and they'll say, yeah, you know, I did feel that. And, oh, yeah, we've had all these calls. All these people have felt the same thing. So that's my little public service thing for today. And Madeline's already heard this before, so she's probably snoring. She gets to hear all the stuff first. And then she hears it over and over and over again. So she starts rolling her eyes and trying to find something else to do. So, do you have anything to add to that, Madeline?
Well, I was surfing the internet today. I found some information on, like, the anxiety drugs that they give out to people, and they said it's very hard once you're on them to get off of them.
Right. They'll never take you off if they can help it. They'll just give you more.
Well, and it also said that sometimes the people get, like, withdrawal symptoms, and they just can't get off of those drugs once they're on them.
Yeah, and see, so many of those drugs are really, really dangerous drugs. And, you know, there are some of the anti-anxiety drugs that if you take too many of them, and too many can be as few as 8 in a day, if you take that many, it can actually kill you. You know, it's just, they're not harmless. You know, and we were talking about telling somebody to take some tension tamer tea, which is all natural and celestial seasonings. You can just go get it, you know, from the grocery store if you find yourself in anxiety. I don't know if it, is that celestial seasonings or is that traditional medicinals? I guess it depends on which store you go to.
Yeah.
But basically, what you want to do is you want to try a natural way to take care of these things because those drugs are horrible. The other thing that happens with the drugs is that it stops you from being able to progress spiritually. And that's the big danger. That's why they're trying to get people in Prozac and all this other stuff, because it'll stop you dead in your tracks as far as your spiritual connection to God, or to whatever you want to call it, you know, the source of all it is, to the elder brothers of the universe, you know, whatever. Like I always say, don't get hung up on the semantics. The fact is that we are meant to progress. We are meant to spiritually evolve, and those drugs will stop you dead in your tracks as far as your evolution goes. So
I even look at the children in school when they get hyperactive. I mean, my two sons were always hyperactive, and God forbid if they were little now.
Oh, yeah, they'd be on drugs.
I would be in big trouble.
I'll tell you what, I have had parents bring in their kids. You know, when I first started in practice, I took kids. And I would have parents bring these kids in, and they had dark circles under their eyes. And they were, you know, between 6 and 8 years old. And I'd ask them what's going on. They'd say, well, you know, they've got my kid on Ritalin or Dexedrine or, you know, one of the other things to stop the ADD, ADHD. And I'd look at the kid and say, what happens when you go to sleep? And this one little 8-year-old, it was really funny. She looked at me like I was crazy. She said, well, what do you mean? I can't sleep. I said, right, but do you try? Do you lay there and you try to sleep? And she said, yeah. And I said, okay, while you're laying there, do you do this? And I started, like, jerking and letting my eyelids flutter. And she goes, yeah, how did you know that? And so I'm looking at the mother, and I said, you're giving her speed twice a day. Now, why are you giving it to her in the evening? And she said, well, that's because they told me I had to do that. I said, she's never going to get any sleep. So, you know, like, how long has she gone without sleep? I mean, this is ridiculous. And it turned out that the problem that the mother had with her two kids is that they were highly allergic to dairy and wheat and sugar. And so, of course, what did they get for breakfast but sugar pops and, of course, milk. And then they had candy, and the mother was divorced, so every time she took the kids over to, you know, for their time with the father, he wanted to be Mr. Good Guy, and mom's telling him no candy, no this, no that, and he'd give them a sack full of candy. And so they'd hide it, you know, and she'd go in the room and find candy wrappers everywhere, and the kids were bouncing off the walls. And I just finally said, look, you know, I just don't want to have to deal with this myself. You know, you got to be a parent. And if you're not going to be the parent, don't buy the stuff. You know, don't let the stuff go into your kid's mouth, no matter how much they kick and scream. They'll get over it after a while, you know. But the main thing is that if you have kids that are behaving in such a manner, your only other choice is drugs. I mean, you know, these people were going to court and everything else because the school did not want to have these kids in school. They were too disruptive. And so, I mean, they were calling in authorities on them. And finally, the mother said, this is too much of a struggle. And she said, you know, every time I go to the grocery store, they're crying and screaming for candy and all this stuff they're not supposed to have. And I said, wait a minute, who's the parent? Who's buying the food? You know, and if they're being that bad, leave them at the babysitter's and go to the grocery store by yourself. I said, you know, this doesn't make any sense to me. So I quit taking kids in my practice just because of that. It was just getting to be ludicrous. So here are all these kids on drugs, and the first thing they're going to do is put them on those drugs to get them to shut up and sit in the seat. Now, do you really think that's a good learning environment?
Well, actually, for my son, because they started school so early, I mean, Troy was 4 when he started kindergarten, and they used to have to let him get up and walk around the school.
Well, yeah, because they have excess energy. Kids are supposed to have that kind of energy. You know, remember that old saying, youth is wasted on the young?
Yeah.
I know. Madeline and I are both giving kids.
Why don't those little kids sleep?
Yeah.
So
give us some
energy.
Of that energy. We'll take it. I always thought Mork from Work was really great because it really voiced something that I'd said for a long time, It's like, you know, we should grow backwards, you know.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that'd be a heck of a
start out in Social Security.
Yeah, really. Take all the knowledge you have, but have all the energy to play. That's the way to do it. Yeah. So, you know, life is tough. I mean, everybody out there is struggling in some form. Well, not everybody, but, you know, a lot of people. And God bless them, the parents that are parents now with little kids. Oh, Lord, I feel for you. I would not want to have to be doing that myself, not with everything that's going on. It's just so hard, and I think you try the most you can, but you're tired yourselves. You've got your own problems to deal with, and then you have to take care of these little beings that are bouncing off the walls, and then you have to deal with the school. But I can tell you that of the kids that I've seen up in this area, the ones that are homeschooled do a heck of a lot better. You know, first of all, they're actually learning something. And secondly, you know, they're not being fed drugs that are going to hurt them. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, when you look at these kids who are having these problems, it's usually dietary. And so if you have kids that are anxious and, you know, bouncing off the walls and things, that's a whole other subject, but it's usually dietary. So you look at their blood type and, you know, give them that type of diet. That's the quick and easy fix that I've found. You know, and take them away from all that kind of stuff that's causing the problem, because there's so many additives in there, and the kids are so highly allergic now. So that's another thing.
Well, and that was like with Troy and Sean when they were little. I mean, we're all blood type O.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no, that's no wheat, no sugar, no corn.
Yeah.
And what, that's your food group.
Yeah.
That's what the kids eat.
Yeah. Exactly, and that's what makes it difficult. So, you know, I feel for the parents out there that are trying to do what's right, and, you know, a lot of them say, oh, well, you know, just we'll get through, you know, the teenage years and then let them figure it out themselves. But here's my concern. First of all, they're not going to be healthy. Their brains are going to rot from the drugs. Basically, what speed does is it makes your brain look like Swiss cheese. And, you know, that's not a good thing. Now, some kids have paradoxical reactions, and they do need something that's going to speed them up, because that's the only thing that will slow them down. But you can do that with coffee or guarana or you know, something like that that's a natural stimulant that isn't going to do the same thing to your brain. And I think that, you know, I've seen so much overuse of drugs because of the 30 years that I spent in the allopathic medical field. I can tell you there are too many people willing to hand out pharmaceuticals that you're going to have to take for the rest of your life. And when you look at what it does to you, not only physically, because drugs are poison, and I don't care what pharmacy or, you know, big pharma hears me say that, it's the truth. And any time that you're using something like that, you're using it for the symptom. You want to relieve the symptom. It has nothing to do with cure. You know, there were very few things out there that actually cause a cure. What causes cure in a body is when you remove the obstacles and then you allow the body to heal itself, because it's meant to be self-healing. Now, this doesn't work in all cases, obviously. You know, you can't make real generalized statements because there are genetics involved. And, you know, there may actually be people out there that need things. But for the most part, you know, we're talking about the general populace right now. When you start doing all these drugs, it is so, so horrendous. And you see these kids going crazy. And, you know, for those of you who have heard me talk about mind control, you know, if you listened when we had on the kid that survived the Columbine shooting, Mark Taylor, you know, the kids that did this were on the anti-anxiety drugs and, you know, the antidepressants and things. And so many people are. You know, when Prozac first came out, they had a problem with it, because when they tried to take people off of this stuff, they got homicidal. They went out and killed people. And that's still happening. That hasn't stopped happening. You know, it's continuing. The reason it's continuing and you don't hear about it is because it's become too commonplace. So most of the time now, you know, when you find somebody that's gone crazy and they've gone out and shot up the shopping mall, it's usually somebody who's been on those kinds of drugs. So my question to the general populace is, do you really want to have the whole populace on that stuff? I mean, there were even idiot doctors out there that wanted to put Prozac in the water supply. They'd still like to do that. unbelievable. Just unbelievable stuff. I get so angry. You know?
Well, actually, when I lived in Pennsylvania, I had a little bout of depression the one time, and the doctor had given me Prozac. And she says, oh, and this will help you lose weight, too.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I took it for about a month. And then when I went back to the pharmacy for the next month, the pharmacist says to me, is this helping you at all? I said, well, you know what? I don't think it is. I said, I'm not taking this crap anymore.
Yeah, really.
And it's like, you know, I know better because I've, you know, been a massage therapist for over 20 years. And it's like, why am I taking this stuff when massage will help me, you know, relieve stress, get rid of depression? So what the heck am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
So I just stopped taking it.
But see, too many people don't even ask themselves that question because they figure the doctor knows what they're doing. So let me throw a little statistic at you, people. The doctor has 7 minutes to figure out what's wrong with you and give you something to fix it. Now, I don't care how much of a genius you are, the likelihood that that's going to happen is between nil and none. So that's your likelihood. So, you know, I mean, if you really need to go on antidepressants or anti-anxiety drugs, that's another thing. But I read something somewhere where they're putting like 60% of the populace on something like that. And, you know, yeah, life is tough, but you know what? Life has always been tough on planet Earth. So why is it tougher now than it ever has been? And it's strictly perception. And the media does its best to scare the crap out of everybody, you know, and that's part of the plan, too, as you know, you conspiracy theorists. I'm sure you're aware of all that. But, you know, you can get past that. And it's like the lady that I had who was on four of the worst heavy-duty anti-anxiety and antidepressants. Oh, gosh, she lost her dog. You know, I'd taken her off all the stuff, and it took me a long time to get her off the stuff. And because, you know, most of these things stay in your body for 30 days, so you can't give anybody anything natural because it could actually kill them. The stuff we use that's natural, they're called MAO inhibitors. And
so it's in the bloodstream, or it stays in the liver, or?
It just stays in your tissues and then, you know, yeah, in the liver, in the bloodstream, you know, whatever. It gets absorbed into your tissues pretty well. But the stuff stays there. And so you have to make sure it's completely washed out of the body before you go and give anything natural. So I maintain this lady on acupuncture 6 times a week. And she had a little bit of anxiety, but she managed to get through it. Then her dog died. And she'd been off of this stuff for about a year. And she was doing fabulous. Her dog died, and she calls me up, and she's crying. And she says, oh, I'm crying. I said, congratulations. Welcome to the rest of the world. She said, you mean this is okay? I said, oh, my God, what in the world made you think it wasn't okay? I mean, this is the natural way of things. If you're sad, you cry. You get it out of your system. And I remember, you know, when I was a kid, the big thing was put everybody on Valium. Well, the problem they found out with Valium, especially in a state of deep grief, is that you don't work through your stuff. You know, you can't ever get well from it if you are on Valium. And so that was one of the reasons why they started looking for other kinds of antidepressants. Actually, Valium's not an antidepressant. It's actually, you know, better as a muscle relaxer. But they had the problem because they couldn't take the people off of this stuff, and people were overdosing. And, of course, you know, cocktail hour was a big thing back in the 50s and 60s. So, you know, they were having their alcohol with Valium. Yeah, well, yeah, that was a big thing, you know. Like, if you've seen that movie Blast from the Past with Brendan Fraser, and, you know, they're all afraid of the bombs, and they're down in the bomb shelter when there's an accidental dropping of a bomb over their house or something. And here they are in the bomb shelter, and they're still mixing their Manhattans and their martinis and stuff every night for, you know, however many years they were down there, 20 years or whatever. And, you know, that was the normal thing. And they would take Valium with it. And there were a lot of people that died because of that, because those are the two things that you really cannot mix. So, you know, there's all these side effects and all kinds of problems with the drugs. And then you have to take into consideration all the additives in the food. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but they just approved this huge list of additives to organic foods, all kinds of artificial colorings and flavorings and things like that. Now, why would they do that? So they can still call the food organic, even with all the additives in it. And, you know, you look at that and you go, oh, my God, you know, it's so widespread. Well, what are they doing with this? Well, if you talk with the people who are on the inside who've been developing the mind control protocols and stuff, that's what they're doing with it. You know, they're making you more susceptible to mind control. So, you know, it's your choice what you're going to do with your life, but I'm here to tell you there's no more time left. You know, everybody's got to stop this kind of nonsense or just be a mind-controlled slave. You know, that's what it comes down to. And die early. You know, work too hard, die too early. You know, right now we still have a voice. And so we've got to all stand up and say, stop this crap, you know. And no, I'm not going to let you do that to my kids. And, you know, vaccines are another thing. You know, they've had the vaccine supply infected with simian 40 monkey virus, which causes really strange cancers in people. They've had that infected for, God, years. It must have been, you know, 20, 30 years, maybe more. And it started in the Merck labs. And this is all a matter of record. You can look all this stuff up on the Internet. And still they're giving all of these vaccines that are contaminated, they're giving to kids. And so we wonder where these strange cancers come from. You know, we wonder why people that never had any problem all of a sudden have a problem. Some of these things kick in, you know, when you're middle-aged. So there's all kinds of concerns that I have with these kinds of things, and a lot of my colleagues have, too, because of that. And then you add to it all the mind control stuff they're doing. And, you know, like the whole Virginia Technical School, that was obvious mind control. And so, of course, the first thing they did was try to put a spin on it and say, oh, you know, this kid was blah, blah, blah. And that they did happen to mention he was on antidepressants. They shot themselves in the foot there, and they actually revealed something. So, you know, these are concerns. So, now, let's open up the phone lines. If anyone would like some help with anything, we're here to help you with some energy healing. And, you know, if you just want to talk about one of your medical conditions or mental condition, anything there that we can help you with, we would be happy to do that, send you some good love energy. And we find that one of the most powerful things that this can do is that it can help you to get to the next step. So, you know, I always tell people, you know, don't expect that you're going to be 100% cured when any energy healer works on you. What you expect is that you're going to get exactly what you need. And
or exactly what they accept.
Pardon?
What they accept.
Yeah, it's what they accept, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's part of the whole thing, because you can throw really intense energy at somebody. I mean, I used to be able to smack people on the head and yell, heal, and when I picked them up, they would be healed. But sometimes they could sustain it, and sometimes they couldn't. And, you know, most of the time, if they did sustain it, then all of a sudden they started acting out parts of my life, and I went, ooh, I don't think that's very good. I know that person would never do some of the things that I've done. So, you know, it kind of was a big lesson to me that you don't do that. And I've come to realize that things have to go along in steps. And you have to bring the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual along all together. If you don't, you kind of bump up against the ceiling and you can actually make yourself sick. If you have too much spiritual striving and you haven't balanced it physically, mentally, emotionally, then you will indeed become ill. And sometimes it's pretty devastating illness. So I would like, through this program, to make sure that the listeners understand this and that you don't push yourself too hard. You know, you want to strive, but you don't want to make yourself sick.
Well, even sometimes, when people do a lot of meditation and things like that and they don't ground out their energy and they open the kundalini too fast, they go a little berserko.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what was happening, you know, back in the 60s, you know, when acid hit the scene. A lot of the problems that flipped people out permanently were strictly because they did let the kundalini rise too quickly and it opened them wide up. And they got totally crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they saw things that they were not prepared to see. And those things do exist. And, you know, you know how amazed people have been when we show them the pictures of what's
mm-hmm.
there, you know, when we do the vortex gatherings.
I'm amazed.
I know. I know, and you're taking the pictures. I'm amazed, too. I mean, I know the stuff is there most of the time, but the one that really floored me was when that device came out of that lady.
Now, the one that floored me was the guy in the blue, that face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty amazing. You know, looks just like Jesus Christ. So, yeah, we get some amazing shots out of there. But, I mean, these are the kinds of things that are out there floating around in the air that we don't see because we filter that stuff out. And, you know, I always looked at science fiction as a way to get us prepared for what's real. And people thought I was nuts. Of course, they thought I was nuts for a lot of other reasons throughout my life. Because I kind of marched to...
I was nuts, too.
Yeah, well, you know, when you march to the beat of a different drummer, you know, the rest of the populace goes, oh, stay away from me.
We're beating our drum anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, we just hung up my thunder drum up in my room the other day. So... yeah, I mean, it's just really funny, but I remember watching sci-fi, you know, I was really into The Twilight Zone and all that stuff as a little kid, and Outer Limits, and those things that kind of make you go, wow, what's that? What if? And I finally realized, I think I was in my 40s when I realized this, took me a while, but I finally realized that that was preparing me for the things that I did see. Because when I opened up psychically when I was a teenager, and had all this wild, wacky stuff happening, I knew how to take care of some of the things that were happening because of those shows that I was watching. And if you look at the movies that are coming out now, there's all these indescribable things, you know, attacks from outer space. Well, of course, that's all the plan, you know. They want to, you know, stage a fake UFO attack so that the entire world has to come under martial law, you know, and under mind control and all this other stuff. And, you know, and they've already prepared. You know, they've got all kinds of things lined up for this. They've got all the movies coming out now showing this horrendous attack from these awful, terrible, scary beings from other planets that we can't possibly do anything against. And, you know, they're building your fear. And
well,
so,
actually,
you know,
they do have a station on DirecTV, and it's called, I guess it's the Women something or other, We... And there's a show on there which, like, blows my mind. It's about alien abductees. And actually, the one woman was saying that she was having this experience, and she went out to her little patio, you know, like a little whatever off her bedroom, and the ship came by, and she was waving at it, and she could see the people in the ship, and then her friend who was in Connecticut called her in California and said, hey, I saw you last night. I was waving to you from the ship.
Oh, my God. see, truth is stranger than fiction, isn't it?
Yeah. And then she was trying to wake her husband up, and then she couldn't wake him up, and then he heard this humming, and he went out. But he didn't see anything, and then he was trying to wake her up, and he couldn't wake her up.
Man.
But, I mean, it's quite fascinating how they have that on a regular, you know, TV show.
Oh, yeah, it's all coming out now. You know, the truth's coming out.
But, I mean, she said that they were taking her up there, and they were teaching her things.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's good guys and bad guys, you know.
Right. Well, these were the good ones.
Yeah, well, the good ones are the ones we want.
I'm waiting for that ship to pass.
I know. We were cracking people up all across the U.S. because we kept saying, Scotty, beam me up.
Take me first, then.
Right, we have had enough of this little sandbox, you know. But before we go here tonight, let's do a little kind of a self-hypnosis thing, Madeline, if you would. Listeners, Madeline is a certified hypnotist and all that kind of stuff. And so I have asked her if she would do a quick little self-hypnosis thing for you guys to help you to calm down and to not be anxious, you know, to stay out of the fear. So take it away.
Okay. Just everybody just start to relax. It's going to be like a relaxation. And and you're going to get relaxed. And just feel your body becoming totally relaxed, loose, and limp. And start taking some nice, long, deep breaths. Some nice, long, deep breaths as the breath helps you to relax. And then feel your body relaxing from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. If you have any pain in your body anywhere, you can just feel this pain going out through the bottom of your feet. Now I want you to picture a white light coming down to the top of your head and going out at the bottom of your spine and hooking into the crystal in the core of the earth. And now take a nice, long, deep breath and breathe that light back up into the body. And just feel yourself becoming so nicely relaxed, loose, and limp. And now I want you to go to a wonderful place, which is only your place. You can create it however you want. It can be the seashore. It can be nature, in the forest, on the mountain, wherever you feel comfortable, in your bedroom, in your bed. And as you go there, bring all the wonderful things that you like to have around you that make you feel peaceful and restful. Now I want you to be there and feel yourself as you feel relaxed, as you feel your mind relaxing and your body relaxing, as you enjoy your favorite place. Just feel everything in your mind, in your body, in your spirit, so relaxed. You just feel all the tension leaving your body. And you leave all the cares of the day go away. Now I want you to touch your thumb and your forefinger together. And I want you to remember how to do this, because anytime you feel anxious or feel upset, just take a moment and take a nice, long, deep breath and touch your thumb to your forefinger and imagine yourself in that place. And as you imagine yourself being in your favorite place, you leave all the anxiety and all the stress go out of your body. You can do this at night before going to bed, or any time during the day, or any time you have anything anxious happening to you. When you want to just center yourself, just close your eyes for 2, 3, 5 minutes and press your thumb and your forefinger together. And just imagine that nice, calm, serene place that you're in now. And take a nice, long, deep breath and count backwards from 1 to 3. And just feel your body relaxing. Just feel your body relaxing and let all the stress and the worry of the day, of the month, of the year, just leave your body. And you can just do that any time. Even if you're in a crowded, at work, the mall, whatever, if you should feel anxious, just go into the ladies' room or the men's room or wherever where you can be alone for just about 3 to 5 minutes, and then just bring yourself back and relax yourself. Just press your thumb and your forefinger together. Take a nice, long, deep breath. And picture yourself in this wonderful place. Now, I just want you to come back to the here and now. You feel that all the stress is going out of your body. You feel wonderful. You feel glad to be alive. Are you awake?
We probably put him to sleep. It's usually my voice puts him to sleep anyway, you know. I'm presuming that for sure Marjorie's asleep. She usually falls asleep within the first 10 minutes, she says. She has to listen to it over and over to try to stay awake through it. But hey, there you go. That's a natural sleep aid right there. So listeners, please do practice that to hold the anxiety at bay. It's very simple, very easy to do. It takes you 5 or 10 minutes. It's kind of like taking a vacation. And you will get to the point where you're so good at doing that that people can be screaming at you and hollering and all kinds of stuff and frothing at the mouth, and you'll just stand there and look at them calmly. You know, you just won't get upset.
Yeah, as long as people find their center and can just, you know, become relaxed and best
yeah.
way.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've had things happen where I've had guys twice as big as me screaming and hollering at me, you know, and trying to make some kind of impression on me, and I wait until they stop. I'm just standing there looking at them, and then it goes, "That usually work for you?" And then they kind of stops them in their tracks, you know, because there's a lot of angry people out there, you know, and boy, I've seen enough of them in the ER, you know, just craziness, and, you know, you need to have something that's going to help you to keep your balance. So that little anti-anxiety thing, you can practice as much as you need to. And especially if you couple that with the Blue Spark meditation, then that should pretty much keep you out of anxiety and fear. You just have to remember to do it, that's all. You know, I think the biggest thing is people forget to do it. They forget they have that at their disposal.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. And they forget all the, you know, it's easy to pop a pill.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just as easy to start taking a couple nice, long, deep breaths and just relax. I know when my son was in the hospital after his brain injury, and they used to want to come in and give him a shot, and I didn't want him to have the shot, I'd say, "Now, Sean, you have to relax here a little. Say a couple Our Fathers and Hail Marys." And the nurse came in with a shot the one time, and he says, "No." He says, "I'm fine now." He said, "I calmed myself down with prayer."
Mm-hmm. It works. All kinds of stuff works if you just remember to do it. So that's our big public service for today. And also, next week, we're going to have Veronica Entwistle on, and you may know her. She has a program also on BBS. On Tuesdays earlier, I think it's 3 o'clock Pacific is her show, and so she's a reader, and haven't talked to her about what we're going to talk about or if she's just going to do straight readings or what, but we'll probably at least have her do some readings. And then after that, we're going to have some other interesting people on with you know, medical news and things, not next week, but after that. Also, I'm reading some books from some very interesting authors, so we'll have those on and get them interviewed also. And, you know, I apologize for still not having an internet connection, and we're not sure when we're going to be in town and when we're not. We are scheduling right now for California. So we're looking at San Diego and L.A. So if you guys want to put together a Quantum Vortex party, give us a call. You can call me at 928-301-2131. And again, that's 928-301-2131. Or Madeline at 928-274-4949. And again, that's 928-274-4949. And you can also go to my website, drvalerienmd.com. and click on the Host Your Own Quantum Vortex Gathering that's about midway down the home page, and that'll take you to the Quantum Vortex Gathering page.
What
tells you about it.
You can go there and look at our pictures.
Yeah, you can go there and look at the pictures and at some of the clips. You know, we've gotten some amazing pictures. And, you know, we're happy to...
Intergalactic.
Pardon?
You might add.
They're what?
They're intergalactic.
Yeah, we have some things that look like NASA space weather. Pretty interesting stuff. And it's the energy that's coming off of the devices as we're doing our little dog and pony show, as we call it. But basically, we are going to be probably going to San Diego, I'd say, the first week or so of February, and then up to L.A. from there, then over to Las Vegas, and then back to Sedona. And then we'll wait a month or two, and then we'll do it again, and then go up through Oregon and Washington and Canada, and then come back down. And then we're going to start on our eastern leg again. So we'll probably head east around April or so, April or May. And so if you want to schedule, please do give us a call so we can get our schedule together. It does take us a while to set up, and then, you know, it takes a few hours to do the actual quantum vortex gathering. And then during that time also, during the 2 or 3 days that we're there, at each stop, we also do some private healing sessions, and you can have private manifestation time. All it takes is money, you know? It's like anything else.
Money.
Yep, that's all it takes. But anyway, we are trying to make the schedule a little bit easier this time. Because when we took off last time, it was because we were on a mission from God. God said, go do this. So we did. So that's all I have to say for tonight. Madeline, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
And you're most welcome. And we'll just have to do this again. Okay. So until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
Good night. Do 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 do